That's not how you reach people anymore. Trump went on Joe Rogan for 3 hours, and it was just unfiltered, and there's an authenticity to it. I think we don't have a response to that right now.
Well, and I think to the authenticity point, I think it's, you can't undersell the work that goes into kind of creating that large of a media ecosystem, because the reality is, on the right, it's not a media ecosystem that only talks about politics. When you talk about authenticity, yeah. You know, these big podcasters, Theo Vaughn, Donald Trump, all of these people that are Republican-coded, they're not talking about politics all day. No. Actually, they talk about politics very little.
Yeah.
It's just an offhanded joke, like, oh yeah, fuck Joe Biden, like off to the side. The rest of it, they're talking about UFC and all that. So, my apologies for cursing. So... on top of the political and coding it as this authentic thing, it needs to go beyond that. It's not like Pod Save America isn't the answer, because that's a political podcast. Yeah. We need the non-political spaces.
Yeah, I think that's part of why Donald Trump is so good at these sort of in this media environment. I think just watch his hour and a half rallies. He's talking about politics maybe 10% of the time. The rest of the time, he's just talking about culture and whatever pops his mind.
Culture,
yeah.
And now he's like big into UFC, and he's always sitting ringside. And like,
well, it
after
works.
It does work.
It works.
It's crazy to me that after he was reelected, one of the first people he thanked was Dana White
and the Melk Boys.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that is.
Well, I think another thing that we need to realize is that not only is this where we are, but it's where we're going. In that, content is going to get shorter in form. Like, videos are going to get shorter. The things that people consume are shorter as attention spans get shorter. So people just don't have the appetite for these big policy talks on podcasts. Mm-hmm. They want the punchy things.
Right. And then, of course, there's the long-form 3-hour Joe Rogan podcast, and then there's the 10-second sound bites that you get on TikTok and...
where he's kind of charming.
Which are probably, right. like, more important than what happened in the 3-hour podcast.
Well, I think they're both equally important. I think working together, they're equally important, because it reinforces the same point. I think if you're not tuned into politics, which is almost every single voter in America, there are obviously exceptions, and especially if you're one of these voters that matters in presidential elections to a greater extent, then that's how you're consuming politics. And so what you're seeing is, you know, Donald Trump unscripted for 3 hours, and then you're seeing Kamala Harris speaking off the teleprompter for 30 minutes, and you know she's really disciplined and she's a really good campaigner, but not for this environment. And so I think what the Democrats need is someone who's able to go on, you know, these sports radio shows or some sort of thing where the it's not necessarily a political bent, but you're able to get your message in just by being there. And so I think Obama would have been effective at this. Unfortunately, he's term limited. But, you know, he did the basketball podcast.
Yeah.
And I think he was pretty good. And he didn't talk about politics.
He did talk about politics, but it was like a second.
It was a side note, yeah.
I actually think it goes bigger than that. I mean, if you think about Trump, it's not that Trump is able to go on these boxing or UFC podcasts and talk with Dana White. It's that there's no line where it's like he's a candidate and then you don't see him. Whereas Kamala Harris,
right.
when you see her, she's as her a candidate, and then when you don't see her, she's not as a candidate.
Right.
Whereas Trump is this, you know, all-encompassing thing. He's Donald Trump. He's not Donald Trump a candidate. He's not Donald Trump a guy. He's this
right.
aura. And right. that's something different than right. going on podcasts as a candidate talking about something.
Right. It sells. It sells. I think, so, do you know who George Burns is?
No.
Okay, George Burns, do you?
Yeah.
George Burns was, like, a really famous actor. I think he was, like, the most famous... or not even an actor. I think he appeared on like television, movies, radio, whatever. And he famously said that the most important thing in show business is authenticity. And if you can fake that, you've got it made. I think Donald Trump basically embodies that. He comes across as really authentic. Even for those of us who are not the biggest fans, you can't take that away from him. He does come off across as authentic, and maybe that's what people want.
But is there any way to talk about real policy and come off as authentic? Like, I don't know, because...
I think Pete Buttigieg can do it. I think he does it pretty successfully.
Yeah, that's a good point. He does. And so does Obama.
So does Obama. So does Bill Clinton. But Bill Clinton's a bit past his prime, and Obama's term limited.
Well, I think so does Kamala, but I guess voters don't agree. So what's the disconnect there?
I think a common theme was that when she was talking about abortion... for example, when she went on Call Her Daddy and talked about abortion. Which, by the way, we'd love to have Kamala Harris on this show if she wants to come. We're available.
Or the Caller Daddy host. Anyone, really.
we're taking all guests at this point.
It's called buying low.
Selling high?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You should really invest in us, I think. Anyway, back to the point, which is that I think she was a really good messenger on abortion, but on the things that people cared about, on economic issues, she was not that good a messenger. I mean, people talked about... People made fun of Trump for doing the whole McDonald's thing, the whole fake working at McDonald's thing. Yeah. But that resonated with people. People were talking about it.
Is there evidence that supports that? Like, I don't know. I mean, the fact that he won does not mean that everything he did...
I know, and the fact that she lost does not mean that everything she did was wrong. So, by the way, I don't think she could have... I don't think she could have made a... She lost by enough that, you know, going on Joe Rogan or going to Wisconsin or whatever it is would not have changed the election.
Would time have changed it? I think there's no point.
I think time could have changed it. I think if she had a few more months to campaign, I think towards the end, the shifting back to the democracy theme was probably a mistake. And I've told you this before. I think one of the biggest mistakes the Democrats made was in, you'll remember this, or maybe you were in Peru at the time, so you were offline, but the Democrats kept talking about how you know, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are weird. You remember that?
Yeah, it was a whole...
Right. Yeah. I think that was a mistake. Because for a few reasons. One, I think most people are weird. So it makes them into these, you know, tame, weird people. And if you're not weird, you know a lot of weird people. So I don't think it's... I don't think it makes it that scary. I think... And then especially if you're calling them weird, and then 3 months later you're like, hold on, they're actually fascists who want to take away your rights. It doesn't compute for people. Because you're thinking, wait, are they weird or are they fascists? It can't be both. And so I think that was a big mistake.
I actually don't know. I don't know about that. I think there needs to be a kind of social branding to make your opponent kind of socially unacceptable. So, you know, the way that they've branded us is annoying. And I don't know. Do you dispute that?
No.
And I think that's been pretty successful. Like, yeah, Democrats are going to nag you about policy. Nag, nag, nag. So I think branding them is weird. It works. And I don't know if there's any...
I don't think it does. I don't think it does.
I mean, what supports that?
Well, what supports your position that it doesn't?
I mean, it caught a lot of media attention when Walls was doing it.
That's probably the proof that it doesn't work.
Why?
Because the...
If it's getting to people and people are liking it...
But it's not getting to people. Was it getting to the low-information voter?
They said it was getting to people. They're like, it's kind of resonating when we call them weird, so we're going to keep doing it.
Well, they stopped doing it at some point. Yeah, so clearly...
Why did they see the polling that weird wasn't actually resonating?
I think they just decided that time would be better spent on something else, right?
I just don't think it's an effective argument that they're weird. I think it just misses the point. They want to destroy the economy. They want to take away your rights. These are better arguments than the fact that they're weird. And by the way, we have some weird people on our side too. So
yes, we do.
So I don't know that.
Yes, we do.
I don't know how effective that is. And yeah, it is true that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are weird, but they're also fascist. So. Which is more important, the weird or the fascist?
Yeah, I've got a question for you. You mentioned the economic issues. How would you effectively communicate the fact that economics aren't as dire as people want to believe that they are? I mean, Biden had a bad economy for the beginning because he was coming off COVID.
And Donald Trump's economy.
Yeah, and Trump's economy. But he managed it very well. Like, if you ask economists, they'd be like, he did everything that we asked of him.
Right.
But the average voter, there's this disconnect between what's actually happening and
I'm no economist, but it's pretty clear at this point that it's just costs. Like, people care quite a bit how much the things that they're buying at the grocery store cost. And again, I'm no economist, but I think you have to focus on costs.
Are you an economist?
I'm actually not an economist. Okay. But that's just my two cents.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think the Democrats spent way too long telling people that the economy was great, even though they weren't feeling that the economy was great. I think almost every single economist across the political spectrum will tell you that the economy is great and that Joe Biden saved the American economy. But if people aren't feeling that, then it's a political problem. It makes you seem so out of touch if people are saying the prices are too high and you're like, well, the economy is great.
So
and
how
actually
do you message that?
And actually inflation is way lower in America than it is in the rest of the world. People are, well, I don't care what the rest of the world, how the rest of the world is doing. I care about my own prices. So how do you message on that? I think is a is an interesting question. I think you have to turn it into a motives thing, which is, for some reason, people perceive Donald Trump to be on their side and perceive Kamala Harris to be on the side of billionaires. And I think one of the things that doesn't help that is all the celebrity endorsements, you know, millionaires and billionaires endorsing Kamala Harris is not the greatest thing in the world, I think, for the economic message. But I also think
Trump himself is a billionaire, though, and is like
right, but
basically
I think,
like a stereotypical rich dude.
I can't agree
on
with that. I mean, he.
Well, Donald, you don't have to agree with that.
No, I don't. But Donald Trump has Elon Musk endorsing him. Like, it's not. I don't think it's a celebrity thing. I don't think it hurts Kamala to have J-Lo at an event.
I think it does. I think the kind of celebrity and the kind of Donald Trump is a very rich person, and he inherited a lot of money. But at the same time, he codes as having this sort of working class cultural sensibility about him because he's brash. He, you know, I think the classic thing a Trump voter would say was he tells it like it is, which, of course, isn't true. But I think part of he doesn't speak like a politician. He doesn't speak like a businessman. He speaks like a guy on your corner. And so I think that resonates with people in a way that Kamala Harris speaking like a lawyer, like a prosecutor, doesn't. And I think, you know, maybe a few years ago it would have, but I just don't think it does anymore. And so on the economic issue, I think you have to try to bite into Trump's margins on this. I think you have to make it she's fighting for you and he's fighting for himself and his rich friends.
I feel like they said that over and over again, and it didn't click with people. Like when
that might be a time thing.
Yeah. But, like, the economic issues, like, the deepest you can go into it is, like, tariffs. And well, and people just don't understand that
just on the time thing, I think, well, we spent, back to the Joe Biden dropping out, I mean, we spent so long defending the economy because he was defending his economy.
Yeah.
And had he dropped out sooner, then we could have moved away from being in full defensive all the time.
Right.
And that hurt us. And right. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, if we had longer to brand it, then we could have branded it better.
Yeah, I agree. But it also doesn't answer the question, because, yeah, this was a rejection of the Democrats, this election. But Donald Trump got 51% of the vote nationally. So this is the first time a Republican has won the popular vote.
I thought he was down to 49.
Whatever it is. Can we get a fact check on that?
Yeah, please. I don't want our listeners walking away from here with bad facts.
Well, you know, as goes...
You got 50% of the popular vote.
Okay. As goes WMFO, as goes America. So
it's true.
So this is important. We want to bring you only the fact. So he got 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
And she got, what, 47?
48.4.
So he won the popular vote. He clearly resonated with people. This wasn't a sort of 2016 situation where, you know, 5,000 votes here would have changed the deal. This was hundreds of thousands of votes. So something clicked. And it's not just that there was a drop-off in Democratic vote share. People who didn't previously like Trump said, you know, we'll give this guy another look. And that's what I'm sort of struggling to grapple with.
As am I. And I don't think we'll know anything for quite a while. But what I think we can do is talk about the takes that are bad. Because right now, we won't have a fully sound take, but let's talk about what we've been hearing that we think is quite wrong. I can lead off.
I think you want to lead off.
I will lead off.
I think you intro'd that to lead off.
I did. I segued it. But I think the culture war stuff, the arguments that Democrats focus too much on the culture war, and that was the reason that the American people rejected them, is completely wrong. I don't think Kamala Harris, and I don't think any other prominent national figure in the Democratic Party focused at all on identity issues. I think they moved squarely away from that. So
you're right.
I am right.
You're right, but you're missing the point.
Okay, so tell me the point.
It is obviously true. Kamala Harris in her acceptance speech at the DNC did not talk once about any of those things.
Yeah.
And throughout the campaign, she did not talk once about any of those things. It is still the case that people perceived...
I don't think that's it. I think people love the culture stuff. They just love it when Donald Trump talks about it and when Republicans talk about it.
Maybe. I don't think that's right. I think the cultural it resonated across demographic groups, the cultural thing.
Yeah.
I think it's just the perception that they're fighting for people like that, that Republicans are fighting for people like you, and Democrats are fighting for, you know, these issues that code as upper class, educated. Like, it's just the perception that if you're worried about what your next meal is, how you're going to get money for your next meal, you're not worried about these things.
I think that's a little overly credulous.
My grandpa is asking if he can call in.
Okay.
Sure.
First caller.
Yeah. You guys can keep talking. Okay. Do you want to do a PSA, Jacob?
Yeah, sure.
Here you go. Take the book. Just take this and read whatever.
So why do we have to do a PSA?
The FCC requires it.
Okay. Hey, how many listeners do we have right now?
Give me a second.
Okay. I'll read this PSA. Okay. Don't drink and drive. Public service announcement. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. This was a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Even very damaged PSAs can be repaired with mending tape. Unfortunately, people killed by drunk drivers cannot.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna play a song real quick, just as like a brief intro.
Started out in search of ordinary things. How much of a tree bends in the wind? I started telling the story without knowing the end. Darker, then I got lighter, then I got dark again, and something too big to be seen was passing over and over me.
Testing.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you either.
All right, whatever. All right, where were we?
Hot takes, I think.
Okay.
Bad takes. I think it was bad. Maybe it's time for you to tell us who you think the future is.
All right, I will.
Let's hear it.
I think that you would be very foolish to count out Kamala Harris for 2028.
I said that to you.
You did not say that. Asaf said that he would wait if he was Kamala Harris until 2032.
That's not true. I said I'd give Kamala Harris another look, and you're like, you're crazy.
I didn't say that. Here's the deal. The American people This was not a rejection of Kamala Harris. This was a rejection of the Democratic Party. So I think Kamala Harris right now is the strongest person for 2028. I mean, obviously, this is all contingent on what happens. Again, she might choose to run for California governor, which would confuse me right now, but that could be the right choice for her. But yeah, I think you'd be foolish, as you have, to overlook her for 2028. All right, your turn.
For who I think is next up?
Yeah.
I think...
Could you get off your phone, please?
Sorry, I was getting listener feedback, okay. Which I think is an important thing.
Who's listening?
100 people, probably.
What was the feedback?
Yeah, what was the feedback?
Well, the feedback was, let's see, it's good, I'm entertained.
Let's go.
Well, that's pretty good. Thank you, Talia.
That's your dad?
That's not my dad. That's okay. Talia.
Well, Matthew said this is good, and then a word I can't say on air.
I'm struggling to imagine what that word may be.
Starts with an S.
Stuff?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, your hot take.
My hot take?
Yeah, you're just stalling right now.
My hot... Well, I have to do a hot take?
Yeah, you have to do a hot take. You can't do Kamala Harris. But even though he disagreed a few days ago when I said it. Go ahead.
My hot take is that I think what we need is a similar thing to the dynamic the last time Trump had a term, which I think we need just your classic middle-of-the-road vanilla Democrat. And the one I have in mind is Joe Biden. Because I think he's proven that he can win national elections.
Yes.
And I think that he's capable of putting together a winning coalition. And thankfully, he's got another term left in him.
He also understands the Senate. He understands how to get things done in Washington. He's the... insider's outsider, if you will. So I think he's the right call.
So this was all a setup. I wanted Jacob to say he thinks Joe Biden should be the next nominee. I don't actually think that.
I don't think anyone thought that.
He's going to be said like 85.
Joe Biden thought that.
What?
For he's going to be like
85. Well, here's something I think is not a hot take. I think this is a pretty cold take, and okay. I think we can agree
can you
on
get
this.
Off your phone?
I think
continue, please.
I think Joe Biden will go to the grave thinking that he would have won this election had he been allowed to stay in.
I just don't understand how you could think that. But no, I agree.
You don't understand how you could think that?
As Joe Biden.
Think about it. He's wanted this job.
No, I understand. How does he think, looking at what happened, looking at the numbers, that he could have won this? That's craziness.
I think what's called upon right now is Mr. Margolis to join us.
Unfortunately... Okay, he actually has a question.
He's
calling because the headphone's not working.
It's okay.
He has a question.
Yes.
Biden had a 41% approval rating. The electorate wanted a change. Biden failed to communicate what he had done legislatively. Isn't that what determined the election?
Yes and no. I think it's Trump had a retrospective approval rating above 50, and that's basically the number he got. I think you're facing really strong headwinds when you're approval rating is 41. I think it was 41 only after he dropped out. I think he was flirting with like the mid to high 30s before he dropped out. So that's a really, really tough ticket to run on. And then I think when it's the Biden-Harris administration and now you're trying to turn it into the Harris walls, that stuff sticks. The fact that she's connected to Biden.
And when you only have 107 days.
When you have 107 distance. Days to distance yourself. And she was... Because of maybe loyalty to Biden, which I think is admirable, she was unable to really cut a break from him. I think.
But the question is, why would she even need to cut a break from him?
Well, because his approval
is very unpopular.
He's unpopular, but he was a great president. So like, what he's asking is about the communication of his policies. Like, is there any?
Well, I don't think he was an effective communicator because of his age. Yeah, I mean, you look at clips from Joe Biden from not that long ago. That guy could campaign.
Yeah, I mean, even 2020.
Even 2020.
Great. He was great.
He was really good on the stump and everything. Like, he'd occasionally have a slip-up every once in a while.
But he always had that.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't an age thing, and it wasn't a mental capacity thing.
No. Yeah. And you see the way he campaigned in the 2018 midterms for Democrats. You see him in 2016 for Hillary.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, when you have a standard-bearer for your party in full defensive crouch for that long,
yeah.
And everybody kind of needs to fall in line and be... in a defensive crouch, it's very hard to get out of that in 107 days.
You've
been
impossible.
Defending this guy's candidacy for the past
and
3 years against Hedwig.
And she's been defending the candidacy.
Yeah.
She's the one...
I mean, rightfully so. What could she do?
No, it's not a criticism of her. And by the way, it's not a criticism of him. of Biden. I think also an issue was that 2022 provided a little bit of a false.
Well, I think the issue is that the right time to drop out was before he needed to drop out, before the writing was on the wall.
I think the right time to drop out was before
he was never run.
Was never run. Yeah. Yeah. Never I run mean, he did say in 2019, 2020 that he was going to be a transitional president.
Yeah, that now, transition takes 8 years.
Well, I think in his head it took 8 years. I think in the head of many of the American people that's it's about a 2-year hand the baton off situation. But I think Kamala Harris proved herself to be an incredibly capable politician, incredibly Absolutely. Capable campaigner.
That's why I kind of diverge from you in that I think that she would be a great 2028 candidate.
I think she would be a great 2028 candidate too. I just think there seem right now, I mean, Donald Trump hasn't even been sworn in.
It's true.
So I think...
Fact check?
Jonah, can you? Okay, we wouldn't want to mislead our...
No, we wouldn't. All our listener.
All one of them?
Wait, I got a question for you guys.
Please.
What do you make of his cabinet choices?
Like Trump's?
Yeah, I mean, I know there's like the whole standard thing where it's, oh, he's just getting loyalists and he's getting people to like anger the libs, which I think are both true. But like these are such horribly incompetent cabinet selections.
Yeah, it's
like, they're
terrible.
Worse than last time.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because he's like isolated himself from anyone competent in his party, or what do you make of this selection?
Well, I think the remarkable thing, and can we get a fact check on this in a second? Well, I don't know.
I'm not locked in.
This would take a while to fact check. Someone told me that so far in his cabinet nominees, he has more rapists than non-rapists.
That's crazy.
Can we get a fact check on that?
Can we get a fact? Because it's RFK.
Rapists cabinet.
Did you see RFK Jr. in that one interview when the guy was like, what do you have to say about this, like the babysitter thing? And he's like,
I'm not a choir boy.
Yeah, look, I'm not a choir boy.
Yeah. I think we're counting RFK Jr. as a rapist, even though
yeah.
he said he was
no,
not
but,
a choir
but
boy.
But here's the thing.
And he was very young.
Besides,
he was 45.
Since, Jonah, you wanted to get away from the loyalist thing, the reality is they hate government and they want to destroy government. Not just
well, I don't think that's true. You're thinking of like...
Like old dog Republicans.
Old dog Republicans. They don't hate government.
They
love
government.
They want to use government towards their end. Listen to the way J.D. Vance speaks. Like, he wants to...
I don't know about that. I mean,
he wants to
how
take,
do you reconcile that with Doge when they're like, oh, I want blood. I want to, you know...
Well, if you're looking for intellectual and ideological consistency in Donald Trump, then I think you're going to be looking for a while. There's no consistency. It's
no consistency, but we can look at the actions. I mean,
well,
these people like hate the departments that they run.
Some of them. But if you look, for example, at the way J.D. Vance talks about the SEC. He wants to use the SEC to go after liberal...
Yeah, but I think J.D. Vance is quite anomalous.
I don't think he is.
For the cabinet.
Well, okay, well, let's...
He's an actual intellectual, J.D. Vance. Like, he has beliefs that he wants to do. These other guys don't.
Wait, what would you speculate on his beliefs, sir? Because publicly, I have no clue what he believes. But, like, is he purely ambitious... And like just wants power, or
I don't know,
because
it's hard to be that.
He has no
yeah.
consistency considering his switch up on Trump.
It's hard. I think it's hard to campaign for vice president. He was campaigning hard. I think it's hard to do that when you don't believe in what you're saying. I think he actually believes it. I think
you have to make yourself believe it. Yeah, to campaign for vice president, which is the second hardest job in the world.
Behind
following.
Campaigning for president.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, secretary of, like, transportation. Or,
Nope.
I thought it was going to be Doge.
Of the Lakers.
Nope.
Neither of those.
Second after president. Anyway.
I think Lakers coach is a pretty difficult job. Can be a pretty difficult job. Not as
can,
hard
can
as being...
Can you get off your phone?
We should keep this going. We should keep this as a running bit. I like it.
But anyway, yeah, no, I think J.D. Vance has real plans for how he wants to use the state, but I don't think his opinion carries much weight at all.
Well, I think, yeah, I think you're right.
And considering the lack of political expertise of these cabinet appointees and the political lack of expertise and just like attention,
yeah,
in this cabinet, maybe the fact that he is a political guy and knows his stuff.
Who?
J.D. Vance.
Oh, okay.
To a certain extent. Maybe he'll have real...
Hey, can you get off your phone?
maybe
I'm sorry,
listeners. Yeah. Project 2025. Do you think it's like the actual
negative? Project? Negative. I'm negative on Project 2025. You?
As in, how do I feel about it?
Do you think it'll be like the actual platform of the Trump?
I think there will be many elements that'll be used. Yeah.
I think there's sort of two paths that Trump could go down.
Okay.
One, I think is what I think is more likely,
like
which is
just lazy.
A little more like the first term, which is. The guy just wants to golf, and he wants all the pomp and circumstance. He wants to walk into a room, and everyone clap for him, and people play Hail to the Chief, and, you know, every world leader in the world has to suck up to you, and he likes that, and why wouldn't you? And so I think that's... And then either he'll have other people running the show, or really nothing's going to happen for 4 years. Nothing's going to happen for 4 years would be the... My preference.
That's a great case scenario.
That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'll let you say the second one.
And then the second one is that he is, you know, the campaign was his retribution tour. Sorry, I had a little trouble with that, listener.
We've got my grandpa.
Wait, does it say how many?
I can tell you. We have 21 unique listeners.
21 right now?
Some of them are probably the FCC, and some of them are probably, like, some barber shop.
Some barber... Okay, cool. Okay, well... I think we should count the barbershop as more than one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because...
Oh, I bet people are having listening parties right now. So we should probably, like, times this by 5.
50. Because you wouldn't host a listening party for 5 people.
That's true. All right, anyway.
Is Matthew listening? Do you know?
Matthew's listening. He's live texting us.
Is Matthew saying good things about us?
Yeah, he's like laughing.
He just texted, I'm listener.
Oh, okay.
One of the listeners. But anyway, one of the many. What's the second thing?
The second thing is that he goes on his retribution tour. He goes after New York. He goes after California. He goes after Joe Biden. He goes after Kamala Harris. He goes after Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I don't even think that those... Like, I think he can golf and be lazy and have his henchmen do those things, you know? And then when the time comes, which it will, that California's on fire again, which often happens, then, yeah, he's like, okay, no fire money. Yeah.
Something I found fascinating.
I think it's like that. Okay.
Yes.
Fascinating about Trump is like the inferiority complex that he has from his youth and from his relationship with his father, because he grows up and his dad is like
this,
he's like this big New York guy with connections, and Trump's a nepo baby, and he's
as a New Yorker, chill.
You calling Trump a nepo baby?
Yes, like, I'm calling Trump.
He's totally a nepo baby,
and he doesn't represent New York.
He is a New Yorker, unfortunately. Like, he's your worst.
He might be
the worst New Yorker.
I think he's a Californian.
P. Diddy, too.
P. Diddy's a New Yorker?
I think he is.
Wow, your city sucks. Sorry, listeners.
Are you allowed to use the S-word?
Am I, Jonah? Am I allowed to use the S-word?
Stupid?
No, sucks.
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay, cool. Looks like we're in line. Anyway, okay. Let's talk about the resistance.
Wow.
What?
Resistance.
Smooth segue, man.
Well, I've been practicing.
I just want to commend our listeners, by the way, for being able to keep up with such an intellectually stimulating conversation.
And you know, have a snack while you listen. I want you guys to enjoy yourselves.
Some like some peanuts or just, some bar snacks, like a cashew or something.
Something classy.
Any nut.
I'm just imagining our listener twiddling.
Listeners.
We should get 21.
Yeah, our listeners twiddling their thumbs and just like thinking deeply about the state of the world.
Well, I imagine each of them listening with noise-canceling headphones in a dark room, just contemplating.
Life?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Each of our 21 listeners, don't call in if that's what you're doing right now.
Why?
Speak. Okay, so we know okay. That yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you did there.
And it was good.
Yeah.
But anyway, so on to this resistance thing. I don't know who brought us to that.
We're at 23, guys.
23, wow, okay.
So, times 50.
Well, let's make sure to have good conversation, then, to treat our listeners. Let's
can we, wait, actually, should we take this, should
Get
we take this
phone.
From silliness to an actual intellectual conversation right
yes.
now?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Go.
Let's talk about the resistance.
Let's talk about the resistance.
Let's talk about the resistance.
So, clearly, there's less excitement for a resistance this time, yes?
I just got a text
okay.
from someone listening with noise-canceling headphones in a dark room.
Let's fucking... Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize.
To our listener.
Let's go. All right. Well, make sure to have a snack or something.
Well,
I don't want
that listener does not tell you. You don't have to call in because you're listening.
Feel free not to.
Yeah.
But
everyone else,
I imagine she's hosting the Berkeley listening party. Is that correct?
I think it's the Boston one.
The Boston one. Okay. Yeah. Got it. So the resistance. Thoughts?
I think I the capital R resistance.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you were joking. She texted me to make sure.
She's not listening with noise-canceling headphones?
Oh, wait. Something's happening.
All right,
oh, she said don't tell him.
We should talk about the resistance.
I'm sorry.
Jonah. Control this guy.
All right, we're talking about the resistance.
All right, talk about the resistance.
Okay, please. I think we have an interesting situation with the resistance. I think...
Do I need to take your watch?
Well,
the resistance, we're talking about that.
Yeah, okay, yes, so please. The resistance. Get off your phone.
All right, go.
The resistance.
Yes.
Ooh, I like that. Jinx. Anyway, the resistance. I think it's going to be very different this time around than it was. I don't think there's going to be a 2 million person women's march in D.C. on January 19th or whatever it was. I don't think there's going to be as much appetite for resistance-themed things. I don't think anti-Trump stuff is going to go the same way. I do think there are going to be points during these 4 years, and even, you know, even like now leading up to his inauguration, I think there are going to be points that are going to be sort of key turning points. I think, for one, I think he is going to be so bad at doing the job as he was the first time around that people are going to realize, well, maybe this whole fascism thing isn't for us. And maybe the Democrats are annoying, but at least they're not fascists.
Well, let's talk about why do you not think that being the leader of the being a leader of the resistance is as politically advantageous this time around? Because I know that every Democratic governor and attorney general is thinking right now, this is my shot.
So, I think they are too.
Yeah. So why do you think it's less? Why do you think it'll be less?
Because if we extrapolated based on what Democratic governors and attorneys general think will happen.
Attorney generals.
I would like, for the record, to say that Jacob knows that's wrong.
Yeah, it was a joke.
He has a problem with sarcasm. It's really hard to understand sarcasm.
It's like a good problem.
It's like a bit too dry.
It's good. It's funny. Anyway, go on.
I thought we were going to take this to the next level intellectually.
We are. Okay. We're there.
I promised some of my listener that this was going to be a good conversation.
Okay, so let's have a good one.
Okay. It's 10:37 right now.
Yes.
Let's do 10 minutes of locked in,
high
quality conversation.
All right, good.
Should we talk about Rousseau?
Yes.
Okay, go.
No. Well, do you want to move on from the resistance? Because I can segue us out of here.
Let's see if you can get as smooth a segue as last time.
Okay, but what are we talking about?
Give me one sentence to cap off this whole discussion of the resistance.
I think that...
Less.
I think less, yes. But I think less is more, too. I think people are tired of politics. I think we're in sort of a unique cultural and political moment right now, which is that people are just not that into politics. I think it's true with our generation, too. Here at this distinguished university, you wouldn't know that Donald Trump had just been elected. I mean, people aren't talking about it. This is not something that's on people's minds.
I would disagree. I mean, the days following, that was all anyone was talking about.
You would, go up to someone
in my political
and
science classes.
They would be like, how are you doing? Like, you've, lost, a family member.
Yeah.
Like, are you doing okay? How are you holding up?
But
would be like, well, I've gotten a lot of those.
For the first week. But after that?
Well, I think once he's in office, things will be different. But sure, right now.
Okay. How about we talk about Western civilization? Because I do think... that wasn't a joke.
Yeah, I'm down. Okay.
All right. Thoughts?
Well...
Western civilization, pros, cons?
So I'm in the pro column for the West.
Me too.
But here's
what
I'm scared about. I'm really scared about the... And this is not going to be a hot take, but nobody trusts institutions anymore.
Yes.
And obviously, you get a lot of mileage out of that as an anti-institutional candidate.
Yes.
So, I don't know. We don't need to litigate that, but how do you make people trust institutions that they don't think work for them?
One, and you're not going to like this answer because you're a partisan hack.
Okay.
Is that we actually have to make government work for people. I think it works. But I think we can make it work better, and I think we can communicate it better. I think we'd be naive, or I think we'd be self-righteous to say, well, everything's working, why don't people believe it? I think it has to work. I think that's one of the answers. And So.
But what's not working?
What's not working?
Yeah, what's not working?
People feel as though it's not working.
People's cost of living is too high.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
I think there are other things, there are other cultural things that I don't know how government plays a role in this. I don't know how the state plays a role in this. But I do know how we as human beings play a role in it, which is, I think there's a loneliness crisis in this country. And it makes sense to me why, if you're lonely and you feel like you have no social outlet, you would think that, yeah, maybe it's time to screw these highfalutin liberals from, you know, Alameda County.
Sure, I know, I agree with that. But, so, okay, I think we can speak most accurately on the loneliness thing, because that's affecting a lot of people our age, and we've actually seen it up close with, I assume, our friends.
You're saying speaking for a friend?
Speaking for a friend, not myself. I.
You don't deal with
that. I'm not that lonely. But
not
anyway.
That lonely, yeah, okay.
Okay, so if...
Jonah's crying.
If Jonah, please. This is our high-minded conversation.
Yeah.
So if every platform wants you to be lonely, then how do we fight that?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Like, how do we fight the loneliness if everywhere that people go for content and relaxing and leisure is pushing them to be more lonely?
It's a big problem. It's a big problem.
It is a big problem.
So, it's a big problem.
Yeah, what can we do?
I think...
Well, first of all, you can tune into WMFO and listen to us.
I hope our listener develops
listeners.
A parasocial relationship with us.
I hope that too. Feel free to send food to the studio.
But only when I wonder if the person who's on at 11 is coming.
Let me see.
Oh, do we only have an hour?
Well, if no one shows up at 11, y'all can just stay.
Talk for
as long as you want.
Because I think we were planning on being the Democrats' response to Joe Rogan.
I imagine someone will come.
Planning? We are.
Oh, you imagine they are?
I imagine they will, but we'll know like closer to the top of the hour.
Okay, but I assume they'll just see what's going on and decide
and
to
leave.
Yeah.
They'll be like, there's three guys here talking high level. And
yeah.
Quite high level.
Yeah. I don't want to impede on that.
Yeah. I
hopefully
mean,
that's what happens.
This is the resistance right here. I think.
Well, everything starts in, you know, small rooms like this.
Small. This is actually, for those listener who don't know.
Listeners, we have multiple.
For those viewing parties, this is actually a really cool studio. Like, we are in a really cool place right now.
All the records. Graffiti.
All the graffiti. All the memorabilia. And this is some pretty high-tech studio equipment.
Yeah.
And so,
it works. It's Mic 3 today.
No Mic 3 point. Today. Mic 3 is down, apparently.
Yep.
But anyway.
Shout out to our MC, Jonah
Cowan.
Jonah Cowan. Doing a great job.
Should we shout him out again?
Shout him out.
Shout out to Jonah for emceeing us today.
And shout out our listeners for sticking with us. I hope you learned a
thing
or two.
Wait, what are we at right now?
We're at... I'll get a quick refresh on this.
All right.
21. We lost another.
We lost two.
Nobody heard it. All right. I'm gonna ask a listener to call in. Anyone, really. Give us something, you know?
We're really dying for a call-in right now. We're dying for it.
Yeah, so be a friend. Be a friend of the pod and just call in.
FOPs. Friends of the pod.
There's a chance it doesn't work because if your headphones... If you can't hear the voice in your headphones, you won't be able to hear the voice.
All right, Matthew.
Speaker.
Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew, we kind of need you to call in at this point.
Matthew, lock in for us, buddy.
You can just call my cell phone if you like.
Or just text a question.
Or text a question.
All right, I'll come up with a question. How about we do this?
Okay.
And by the way, for our listener,
listeners,
this is a scripted conversation. We planned for all of this. Here's what I will say.
Please.
And I think this is... What?
Matthew said, how do it?
I hit him with the number.
How do it?
Yeah, that's your question. But anyway, what were you saying?
Please. I think... This is actually harder than it looks. I thought we were going to come in here and just have a free-flowing, highfalutin conversation.
Yes. Intellectual. You kept going on your phone, so that's what we're doing.
No, so I do have respect for radio hosts who are able to do this. So, for our listener, we are going to try to host a WMFO show next semester. And I think It's going to be really good. And we appreciate Jonah letting us in the studio with him today.
I can train you guys next semester as well. And like,
I think we need training. Badly.
Well, I mean,
really badly.
I think you need training.
I think I need training. Oh, it requires it.
So just also so you know to work the board if you're. I don't know if you guys. I would be happy to be on your show, but I also want my own time slot for music.
Right.
So if you guys got a time slot, I would be happy to come on with you guys.
Do you play? Or what music are you gonna play?
Just depending on what the energy.
Are we done with?
No.
Our talk?
No.
Okay, so ask me your question.
Oh my God, you didn't even track.
I segued it.
No, you didn't. Remember at the top of the hour. You said
yes.
You said that these podcasts are effective because they rarely talk about politics.
Yes, but our listeners are listening in for politics.
No, our listeners are listening in because, well,
let's get some feedback.
We've got like a higher level of listeners.
Oh, okay. We got a question.
Is it from Matthew?
No, it's from Talia.
Okay.
Thank you, Talia. This is a great question. Oh, she's emphasizing it now.
Okay, must be good. Listen.
Oh, wait. Talia, how about here? We're going to put you on speaker.
Yes, put her in the mic so the people can hear.
Hey, you're on. You're on the mic.
You're on with America.
America's listening. What's the question?
Hi, WMFO.
Yep, that's it.
Do you think Tim Walz was the right choice for vice presidential candidate?
That's a really good question. Thank you. Jacob, you want to take... Thank you, Talia. And by the way, apparently she's hosting. Wow.
Okay. All right.
Wow. That was rude.
Efficient.
So to all of our other listeners who didn't believe that we had other listeners, now you've been proven wrong. We have multiple.
Yeah.
To answer your question, no. Well, I don't know about if he was the right choice. I don't think he was the wrong choice in that I don't think any of them would have made a difference. I think the only argument that one would make is that Josh Shapiro would have done better in Pennsylvania, but I don't think that tracks at all.
I don't think any of them would have made a difference. I do think there could have been a better option than Walz. I don't think it would have. No one's voting for vice president.
I think maybe they could have used him better, but no, I don't think he was the wrong choice, and I don't think anyone else would have been the right choice.
What did you guys make of his football coach like bit? I know he was a football coach, but he was always like, "We're in the second half now. We're down two scores, but we have to fight. We have to." I'm like, "Oh."
It works more in the liberals' imagination of what a right winger might like than what they actually like. Yeah. I mean, J.D. Vance, I don't think he's ever played a sport in his life,
and no, he's weak.
He probably can't
bench press. I've met.
I don't think he could do a push-up.
I've met J.D. Vance in person. Did you know that?
Yes.
So I met him in person, and really soft handshake, actually.
I could see that.
Could you see that?
Marshmallowy.
No calluses on those hands?
No calluses on those hands.
Well, from writing the book, he has a few calluses.
I heard it was ghostwritten. Just kidding. Don't. WMFO.
Wait,
don't
fact check that?
Wait, did someone... Are you serious?
No.
Aw. I'm so excited to hear that.
No, J.D. Vance is...
The worst of the worst. I was gonna say it does not get worse than J.D. Vance, but then I remember Donald Trump's still around.
Would you rather a J.D. Vance presidency than a Donald Trump presidency?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think probably J.D. Vance, yes, because
I prefer J.D. Vance.
Yeah,
at least he's less erratic.
Because at least he has less ability to sway public opinion. I think Donald Trump is an effective messenger. I think J.D.
Nobody's scared of being primaried by a J.D. Vance endorsed candidate.
No. And he's just like such a dork.
Yeah.
Like, and it's all a shtick with him. And he's, you know, all this like women hating stuff. Like
The couch.
Yeah. It doesn't. The women hating is much more effective with Trump. Because with Trump, it's like old school women hating. With J.D. Vance,
it's
like
loser incel.
With J.D. Vance, it's like, loser incel. Let's intellectualize why we hate women.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, women should stay in violent marriages. Donald Trump wouldn't say that.
He, like, talks about, like, child rearing.
Yeah. It's just weird stuff.
Shit, yeah.
No one listens to J.D. Vance like, damn, now I know why I hate women. You listen to Trump, and it's, like, more subtle. It's like, okay.
Well, you listen to J.D. Vance, you're like, wow, now I know why I hate J.D. Vance.
Yeah, yeah.
To answer the question, I think Tim Walz was a fine choice, and I don't think anyone else would have made a meaningful impact.
I think you're probably right.
Cannot confirm, because it is subjective. But, you can go.
Go ahead.
I think, well, I just want to say that listener question was fantastic, and I would encourage
our other listener. Yes, please.
Our other listener. Can we get a fact check on how many listeners?
Yeah, I feel like Matthew was going to call in.
We're back up.
To what?
23.
Wow.
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 That's quite a bit. Does your grandfather want to call in now?
Mr. Margolis?
Because the headphones aren't working, the calling is going to be off the topic for today. If Matthew wants to do it, I just don't want to have, like, logistics problems.
Okay, I feel like Matthew's, like, kind of selling us
if
out.
If you
want
to just call him and put it up to the mic, that'd probably work better than me using this thing.
Jacob.
Yes.
I have an idea.
Okay.
How about for our regular radio show next semester,
Yes. We
actually have a plan?
Yep. Well, because an hour, I don't know if our listeners know this, an hour goes by a lot slower than you think.
When you're on the air?
Well, yeah, because we did an outline for the show. You know, we prepared. But we need more.
So our listener knows.
Listeners. We have multiple.
Okay, so our listener knows.
We have 23 listeners. That's quite a few.
Right.
Yeah. Treat it like you're speaking in front of, like, a huge crowd. Because you never know.
You never know.
Like, this could go.
You never know who's watching. It could be the case that Barack Obama's listening right now.
There could be, like, a kid.
It's a non-zero chance, yes.
There's a non-zero chance.
Well, because he lived, I don't know if our listeners know this, Barack Obama lived in Somerville, and I live in Somerville right now.
I live in Medford.
So that's,
where in Somerville did he live?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's called Cambridge, but...
No, he lived in Somerville.
Was it, like, the Cambridge part of Somerville?
Can we fact check this?
The Cambridge part of Somerville.
Hey, Jonah, can we fact check?
I can probably do that.
He lived in Somerville.
Sure. Okay. So there's
read his book.
So there's a pretty good chance that Barack Obama was listening to this.
Pretty good chance. And also, Ketanji Brown Jackson was in the area yesterday.
She was, yeah,
so
Porter
she's
Square.
Listening as well.
Mr. President, if you're listening, please give us a call and we'll take your question. You can skip the line. So our listener knows.
This is where Barack Obama lives.
So okay, like, so that's
closer to Assembly Row.
Yeah.
It
anyway,
was in Somerville.
It's far from here, but it's still Somerville.
So our listener. So our listener knows. Our outline was I called Jacob yesterday at like 3 p.m.
Yeah, and he was in the car.
Yeah, he was
in the
car.
I got to take a call, and then he was on the phone with you.
And
it's true. Well, not on speaker. It was on the normal.
It was on the normal. And I was like, Jacob, what are we doing tomorrow? And he's like, I don't know, what do you want to do? And I was like, should we talk about 2024 in the future? And that was the extent of the phone call.
Well, it turns out that doesn't get you that far. Well, I also promised my sizzling hot take, which I gave you all. So if you bring that into your other conversations, please credit me and the show with giving you the idea.
And Jonah for emceeing.
Okay. And Jonah for emceeing.
I've got a question.
All right.
Yes.
Now that Trump is the president-elect, Biden is...
Oh, God.
Can you fact-check that?
Yeah, but now Biden has, like, fully supported Ukraine in the...
Yeah.
In missile defenses and whatnot. And now there's, like, more brinksmanship from Putin's side, where he's like, we're going to have World War III now.
Yeah.
Do you think that's just, like, he's just playing with Trump and being like, Trump is his friend.
Well, I've heard the Russians...
What do you make of the development of that? And, like, what do you look at the next 4 years for the Russia-Ukraine conflict?
I've heard the Russians like playing with Trump, and it's quite mutual. So, I'd imagine they're playing with him. Can you get off your phone, please?
Yes.
I don't think that Trump's election bodes well for the future of Ukraine. I don't think it bodes well for the future of the West. I don't think it bodes well for budding democracies anywhere. And so, I think this is a big problem for the global West, for liberal democracy. And I think that actually might be one of the saddest legacies that Donald Trump will leave, just the absolute destruction of our democratic norms all across. Yeah. I mean, you look even in at what happened in Brazil when Trump was president versus when Biden was president. I mean, autocrats and dictators are much more emboldened under Trump than they are under.
Yeah, and I think just so our listeners kind of walk away with, you know, not being a doomer, there's quite a bit of bipartisan support for Ukraine in Congress, both houses of Congress. So I wouldn't say it's a definite that Trump is gonna, you know, give Ukraine to Russia, but it definitely is not good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about can we fact check that?
Please.
The bipartisan support, because I think more than half of the Republican conference voted against aid to Ukraine.
Is that correct?
J.D. Vance voted against aid to Ukraine.
Well, that's still 75% of votes pro-Ukraine.
Yes.
There's a, for so our listeners know, there's 100 senators.
Okay. And
in the Senate.
Wait, we just got listener feedback.
Was it positive? Because I'm not going to take any negative criticism.
This is great.
Aw.
That is...
Wow.
That... Wow. And that was...
We are getting...
That we just got feedback. That... We just got that from a random listener, which is pretty good.
Wow. To go back to this Ukraine question.
Okay. Like,
U.S. hegemony is probably going to fall now because...
Have you taken American primacy?
I have.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just imagining, like, our control of international institutions and the reputation of America as a governing power.
Yes.
Yes.
That's going to take such a hit with the Trump administration.
Such
and
a hit.
And I don't know how you can count on recovering that, even with a Democrat back in the office. Like,
well, it's some of this is irreparable stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's more... It's irreparable, and it's also that the world is going to realize that the U.S., their security, which is oftentimes contingent on the U.S., is up for grabs every 4 years, and it could go either way. What?
We just got such good feedback.
Really?
Yeah.
From another random listener?
From another random listener.
A different one than the one before.
A different one than before, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how they got my number.
Okay.
Quote.
Is this your parents?
No.
Okay.
I don't know how they got my number.
Okay.
What's the
feedback? Quote. I'm commuting to work right now, and this is exactly what I want to listen to. Oh end God. Quote. Wow.
And you work on Sundays. You're a hero.
You're a hero.
Thank you for
working God on bless Sundays. You. An essential worker, yes. If I may.
And you may.
And I may.
I'll allow it.
Thank you, Jacob. I think our listener is in luck. Jonah, you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think anyone's up next.
I don't think so either. Well, let's see.
We're in business.
Especially if, like, the sub... List. The ideal thing is someone just doesn't show up and doesn't drop it, which means we'll just be able to stay here. If someone drops it, someone is going to come in to replace them.
Oh.
But we'll see.
So here's to hoping they won't drop it. Or maybe their intent...
Oh.
Oh.
Listeners, we spoke too soon.
Listener, we spoke way too soon.
Hello. Well?
Do you guys want to have some, like, parting thoughts? Before we go.
Yes, my parting thought was that this was a great success, and I'm very thankful to all of our many listeners.
Listener.
Who tuned in today.
Listener.
To those who are commuting to work, have a great day at work. To those who are...
Watching football. That's what Americans do.
Good luck to your team.
I want to say a special thank you to those who are commuting to work. Good luck at work. I hope it goes well. I think if you're working on a Sunday, that's huge. And I think the fact that you would take the time out of your day to randomly listen to our radio show.
Well, it's not really random, but...
I think it's random. It means a lot. And to our other listener, thank you so much for joining us. Yes. We'll be back next semester. Right. And Jonah, of course, thank you so much. All right.
You're welcome.
That's it. Right. That's all we've got.
Wait, I feel like we need a sign-off thing.
All right.
Yeah,
and
every Sunday in the AM.
Wait, did you do your PSA?
It's us.
Yeah, we already did it.
Yeah, we did the drunk driving one.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Three... Two,
wait, what
one.
On one.